Well, it is a privilege to be here in Wilmington this morning and to be able to serve you. Debbie and I recently made a trip to our nation's capital, went up to Washington, D.C. with some friends and went to the Smithsonian and saw some of the monuments. It was great. But you know, while we were there, we could really sense over Washington, there was just this spirit of power and arrogance. It almost made you feel like you were 10 foot tall and bulletproof and you didn't care what anybody else thought. You could do anything you wanted to. I mean, it was that kind of spirit. And I know over Charlotte, there's a spirit of materialism. We've watched as people get caught up in that when they move to Charlotte. As we were praying about coming here, I felt I don't know how to describe it. It was like a hindering spirit. And at first I thought maybe it was the folks at St. Peter's the Fisherman. You know, they're in a hard place. They're not ready to receive or something. And as more I prayed, I realized, no, that's not true. Y'all have open hearts. Y'all want to receive. But there's a spirit over this area, a spirit that wants to hinder the miraculous and the supernatural. You know how folks are saying, well, you know, the new normal is 8% unemployment. You just need to get used to that. That's what that spirit is doing here in Wilmington. It's saying you need to be happy with just a little move of the Holy Spirit and just a few miracles occasionally, and you ought to be happy with that. But that's not what the Lord is saying. Lord sent me here today to tell you that that's not what he wants. That's not the new normal. And that he wants y'all to become like the city, sit on a hill that spreads its light that can be seen from far around to say, hey, look, the Spirit of God wants to move in Wilmington and wants to do the supernatural and wants to do the miraculous, and he wants to do it through every single person here in this church, old and young. You don't have to wait for the bishop to show up. You don't have to get a priest or a deacon or some head of ministry. God's Holy Spirit wants to flow right here through every single one of us in a very powerful way, in supernatural ways, and he wants to do it often. And I want to encourage you this morning. I hope to show you how to increase the supernatural occurrences in your life. I hope that before I finish this morning, you'll see how every single person here can be used by the Holy Spirit and how simple it is to operate in spiritual gifts. I know your hearts. I know your servants. I know that you have a heart for the kingdom of God. You want to see the kingdom of God advance. You have a love. You really care for people, not just the people here in this congregation, but for other folks too. That's what your heart is. And you care about your children. You want to pass on to your children that ability to move and walk in the kingdom of God and live in the fullness of what God has for us. And so let's talk this morning some about spiritual gifts and operating in these spiritual gifts, teaching our children how to do that. Turn with me to Mark 16. Every believer, I believe, has been called to ministry. And if you're not sure what your ministry is, I want to show you a scripture that tells you that every single believer ought to have at least these three things operating in their ministry. Mark 16, starting in verse 17, Jesus is talking to his disciples right before he was carried up to be with the Father, just after he was crucified, and he said, these signs will accompany those who have believed. He's talking about all believers here, right? In my name, they will cast out demons. Number one, we ought to be in a ministry delivering folks from demonic oppression. Number two, they will speak with new tongues. That is, they'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the gift of tongues and other things will be able to operate freely through them. And number three, if you look down toward the bottom there of verse 18, he says, they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. That's the third thing. This is what God wants for every single believer. And it's not hard, okay? It's not a big deal. Let me get one thing straight real quick, and that is that it's actually not the believer that's doing these things, okay? I mean, can any of you here actually heal anybody? No, you can't. can you cast out demons all by yourself? No. But, you know, with the name of Jesus, through him, that's how these things happen. As a matter of fact, if we keep reading, it says, so then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God. And then listen, it says, and they, the disciples, went out. They proclaimed everywhere the good news while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. So when folks were healed or delivered around the disciples, it really wasn't the disciples doing it. It was Jesus doing it through signs and wonders. So I got a question for you. Verse 19, it says Jesus left the earth. And then verse 20, it says he was doing these signs for them. Okay, how did he do that? If he's sitting in heaven at the right hand of the Father, what's the mechanics of that? How's he doing that? Well, we get a picture of that in Acts chapter 1, where Jesus, this is another part of this time when Jesus is about to leave the earth. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And gathering together, he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then if you go on down in verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And he talks about where that might take place. Paul explained in Romans 8 that this Holy Spirit that Jesus was talking about sending was also called the Spirit of Christ, because it is Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit of God coming to represent Jesus. And so technically, all the miracles that Jesus did, where it says there that these signs followed them and Jesus was working with them, well, he was doing that through the Holy Spirit. He was doing that through the Spirit of Christ. It was done through the Holy Spirit, through the disciples themselves. So in Mark 16, when Jesus talked about signs that would follow believers, he was talking about how the Holy Spirit, this Spirit of Christ, would actually work through believers. Then I got another question for you. So how is it that that works? What is the mechanism for that, that allows the Holy Spirit to produce supernatural signs and wonders at our hands? And I believe it's a simple thing called spiritual gifts. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Paul lists here in 1 Corinthians 12, we're not going to read all these, but I want to make sure you got an idea of what I'm talking about. Paul lists 9 gifts of the Spirit here. Now, I believe there are a lot more than just these 9. But you can start reading in verse 7. In verse 8, you pick up where he says some of the gifts include word of knowledge, word of wisdom. He said this is through the Spirit of God. According to the same Spirit, to another, the gift of faith, to another, gift of healing. And he goes on to talk about these various gifts. Well, it's these spiritual gifts operating through us that allow the Holy Spirit to accomplish the supernatural in our lives. This is what he wants to do. This is his plan for us. This is not, well, if you somehow go to enough seminary and become a special enough person. No, man, this is for every single believer. This is what he wants every single believer to be able to walk in all the time. And I want to give you a definition of spiritual gifts to help you understand this, okay? Spiritual gifts. And this is whether it's the spiritual gifts of dreams or visions or word of knowledge or word of wisdom or healing or whatever it is. These gifts come entirely and completely from God through the Holy Spirit to accomplish what no human could ever accomplish in the natural. We, our efforts, our talents, our own giftings have absolutely nothing to do with spiritual gifts. We are simply the vessels. We are simply the conduit through which these spiritual gifts flow. You can tell it's a spiritual gift because it has some certain characteristics, like it's supernatural. You know, it's something that couldn't be done by a human being, okay? We'll talk about some of these. I'm going to give you some examples in a minute. But you can also tell it's a spiritual gift because it's short-term. It's there to accomplish a specific thing, and once it accomplishes that specific thing that the Holy Spirit wants to do, well, it's gone for then. Now, all the gifts are available all the time to all believers as the Holy Spirit wants to use us. And so the gift may just be there temporarily to accomplish something that's gone, but it's still available. Anytime the Lord wants to come and do something supernatural through me, through you, we should be available for that. Those are what I'm talking about when I talk about spiritual gifts. You know, in the Old Testament, there were a few prophets that operated in these spiritual gifts occasionally, but boy, it was few and far between. But man, we're in a different age. We're in the time after the day of Pentecost. We're in this time that Jesus was talking about. There's a time coming where I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit on all mankind. Everybody that wants to receive this gift, everybody who will ask me and will receive this gift, I'll give it to them. I want them to have it. We're in that time now where everyone can receive spiritual gifts and operate through them. This brings kind of an interesting misunderstanding, I think, in the spirit world. A lot of times folks think, well, if a spiritual gift is operating through somebody, that means they must be really special. Oh, you know, the other day I actually got to shake hands with old so-and-so. You know, that guy that has that big healing ministry. And that tells us that you've misunderstood what spiritual gifts are all about. Spiritual gifts aren't about how special you are, okay? Spiritual gifts are about how yielded you are and how out of the way you were able to get of the Holy Spirit so he could do what he wanted to. We don't brag about being used by spiritual gifts because we weren't doing anything. Got the picture here? I want to give you some examples of spiritual gifts in operation. Once upon a time, I started a computer business, and I had come up with a design for a new type of computer. And so I was hiring people. I was looking for folks to help sell this new design. And I came across a guy that was a salesman, and he had a potential customer that needed exactly this computer that we had designed. And it was like a $1 million deal. It was a big deal. And he said, you know, I want to come to work for you and I'll bring this deal in with me. And boy, that was like, yeah, man, that's going to set our company up and do us good and off we're going to go to the races. And so I hired Tom and hired him to sell not only this particular customer, but others as well. And after a while, company was seemed to be doing okay. We're going along, and I was reading that story about Absalom one morning in my devotions. Remember where Absalom goes out to the gate and he tries to curry favor with all the people? He tries to tell the people, well, David doesn't care about you, but I'll care about you if you make me king. And as I finished reading that story, the Lord said, that's Tom. I mean, it was just real clear. That's a word of knowledge was operating there. That gift of word of knowledge, the Lord spoke it to me. Oh, no, that Tom wouldn't do that. That's Tom. Okay, well, I'll just kind of watch and see what's going on. And sure enough, over the next few weeks, I discovered that that's exactly what Tom was trying to do. He was trying to curry favor with the other folks in the company. He was going to start his own company, take this business and my design and our folks with him, and he, you know, steal the whole thing. So I fired Tom. But, you know, had the Lord not given me that word of wisdom, I wouldn't have known what was going on. I was in another business situation. I was sitting in a meeting. We were waiting for a manager to come in. He was going to tell us what was going to be happening with the company. And he comes in, and he's about three slides into his PowerPoint, and the Holy Spirit says, he's lying. Oh, wow. And he was talking about what the company's going to do in the next 3 months and what it's not going to do and all. But because I knew he was lying, I was able to prepare my life. So when they started laying folks off like he said they weren't going to do, I was okay. That was, again, a word of knowledge that the Lord gave me. Now, don't laugh at this, okay? But I want to tell you a story that just shows how much God cares about even the tiniest details of our lives. I worked from a home office, and one morning, middle of the morning, I'm working away, and I hear the Lord say, it's time to carry the trash up. It was trash day, right? And I thought, well, man, trash folks don't come until noon or after. But I just felt like the Holy Spirit would say it was time to carry the trash up. So I thought, well, maybe the Lord wants me to get some fresh air or something. So I go outside and get the trash can and start carrying up this long slope up our driveway to the top of the driveway. And as I'm walking back down the hill from that, I get about halfway down and I hear a truck behind me. And I look, and it's the trash truck. And they're picking up trash about 2 hours early. And I thought, woohoo, Lord, may the rest of my day be just exactly like this. May I be able to hear your voice. You understand what I'm saying? God cares about every day. He cares even about your trash enough to use a spiritual gift in your life to benefit you. We're not talking about you have to be some great saint, you have to do something special. We're only talking about when somebody's in a wheelchair. I'm talking about every aspect of our lives. If we'll give him a chance, he'll work the supernatural through our lives. Now, so far, none of the examples I've given you have sounded very spiritual, have they? Listen, God is interested in every part of our lives and wants to work the miraculous at every turn in your life. If you want more spiritual gifts flowing through your life, you're going to have to ask him for that. You're going to have to say, Lord, that's what I want. I want to do that. You got to give him a chance to move through you. You know, if you got a headache, give him a chance to let the gift of healing work first before you go get the aspirin, okay? You have to practice these things. Sometimes you try out being used by the Lord, and sometimes it seems like it works, and sometimes it doesn't. That's how you learn. That's how you learn to be used by him. I'll give you a few more examples. Debbie was watching TV the other morning, and there was a TV news personality on, and the Lord told Debbie something about that TV personality. Actually told her something that wasn't very flattering about that lady. So Debbie told me, and at first it was like, well, I wonder why the Lord told us that. We don't know this lady, have no way of ever seeing her or getting to know her. Why would the Lord tell us that? And then we realized, oh, that's right. What the Lord is doing is showing that to Debbie so Debbie can pray as an intercessor for this lady. You know, that's kind of how intercessory prayer works. I remember one time we were in a home group. We hadn't ever ministered to that home group before, so there were several folks there we didn't know. And as we were praying and praising the Lord, all of a sudden, Debbie gets a word of knowledge from the Lord. And she points at a lady across the room and said, did you know that God has called you to be an intercessor? And this lady says, I just got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't even know what an intercessor is. What is that? And so we start explaining to her, well, an intercessor is a person where the Lord will show you things, will show you people or things that are going on in people's lives. And what he's doing is he's showing that to you so you'll know how to pray for them. And then you can pray for them in your understanding, or you can pray for them in the spirit. And as we're explaining this, all of our other friends are going, yeah, that's her. She's always getting these visions of people, and she's seeing people, and she's, yeah, but I don't know if I like it or not. The last couple of times it happened, I got a vision of somebody that was sick, and then 2 weeks later they died, and I don't know if I like that. And so we had to explain to her how this works, how this gift of intercession, this spiritual gift of intercession works, so that she would know that this is the Lord bringing her to a place. You need to pray for those folks that they'll either get healed or get right or something. I mean, don't be afraid of this. This is not some hocus pocus that's happening to you. This is the Holy Spirit that wants to move through you in a miraculous way in this spiritual gift of intercession. And this gift isn't just for folk who are called to do that a lot. This particular lady is called to do that a lot. She operates in that often. And matter of fact, she has learned how to operate in that gift in a wonderful way. But, you know, we all have things we need to intercede for. I'm sure that most of us have friends or relatives or children that aren't living right, or maybe you know folks who are in desperate need or they're seriously ill. The Lord may want to intercede, may want you interceding on their behalf through this gift of intercession so that the Lord can work a miracle in their life. But you have to know it's available. You have to know to expect it. You have to be telling God, hey, Lord, use me that way. And that kind of brings up another spiritual gift. It's what I call the gift of supplication. Paul talked about it as a gift. Supplication just means prayer or presenting a petition before the Lord. Sometimes when we're praying for folks, the Lord will give me a very specific prayer to pray for them. This is a spiritual gift. It's coming through the Holy Spirit, through me to that person. And it's not uncommon at all. This happened just recently, as a matter of fact, where I'll pray like that over someone. And then a week later or a month later, I'll get a phone call or an email, and they're so excited. God answered that prayer just exactly the way you prayed it. You remember that prayer? And sometimes it's like, oh, listen, no, I don't remember that prayer. It wasn't me praying. I didn't think it up. It wasn't coming out of me. It was coming right through me from the Holy Spirit. And it was specific enough that these folks knew, man, that's God moving when it happened. Gift of supplication. Sometimes the Lord operates with, especially when we're praying for other people, with the gift of mercy and compassion. Now, you know, sometimes you'll look at somebody and you'll feel sorry for them, right? You'll have pity for them and think, oh, poor thing. Or What do we say here in the South? All bless their heart. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this is when the Holy Spirit comes on us and all of a sudden we feel the compassion that the Holy Spirit is feeling for that person. In other words, we feel the love that Jesus is feeling for them. This happened just a few days ago. We were praying with some folks and one of the ladies there, I began to pray for her and this spirit of compassion came on me, this gift of compassion. And I began to just feel like my heart was going to break for her. I understood this is God's love that he has for her. So I got one of the other ladies that was being a prayer partner with me, prayer minister, and I said, look, just hug her, okay, because God wants to hug her. And when she did that, that same gift came on her. And I mean, she grabbed this lady and with a big bear hug, and this lady that she started hugging just started boo-hooing and crying because she felt the love of God. It was this spiritual gift flowing through her to touch her with mercy and compassion. Spiritual gifts are for all of us. You don't have to be ordained. You don't have to be commissioned. You don't have to be special. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to be particularly spiritual. I'm an engineer at heart. Okay, if I can do it, anybody can. You just have to be yielded. You don't even have to be old and experienced. There's, in our home group, we have a family that comes often, and they have a five-year-old little daughter. And I'm telling you, this five-year-old is used by the Holy Spirit with spiritual gifts. Sometimes it's not uncommon. She'll say, we need to sing a song. And she'll say the song. And everybody goes, oh, yeah, man, that was exactly the right song. It's a good thing that she said it because, you know, we wouldn't have known otherwise. But everybody just recognizes this is the Holy Spirit. Or she'll say, the Lord wants to tell you and point to somebody. And it's right on. I mean, it's exactly. It's a word of prophecy operating through this five-year-old. Lord can use any of us because it's not how good we are, right? Or special we are. Just let him. We just got to let him in. And so I want to finish up with something that will help you teach your children about spiritual gifts. This one's easy. You can ask the Lord for this gift whenever you lose something. Debbie and I have gotten to the place where we do this all the time. I bet you we haven't lost anything in decades because we've discovered this spiritual gift will flow through us if we'll give it a chance. Whenever you lose something, you call the children around and you ask them to pray with you. Your prayer is, you say, Lord, either show us where it is through a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, or send an angel to bring this to us. Let me give you an example of each one. The other day we had lost something. It was a kitchen implement. You can hold it in your hand, right? And we couldn't find it. And late at night, Debbie and I prayed this prayer. Lord, either show us where it is, or send an angel to bring it to us. And we were tired and said, yeah, let's just go to bed. We went to bed. The next morning when I woke up, the very first conscious thought I had was, this thing you're looking for is in the kitchen trash. It wouldn't be in the trash. Nobody would ever throw that away. In the trash. So I tell my wife, and she said, okay. And she looked through the trash, and sure enough, about halfway down in the kitchen trash, there it was. Somehow, it had fallen in the trash. It's a word of knowledge. Once upon a time, we took a team of dentists down into Mexico. We did that a lot for a while. We had two or three boxes that had everything you would need to set up a dental office in a remote area. Even had a compressor for the air and a high-speed handpiece that they could use to do fillings. And then you had a tackle box with the carbocaine and the needles and scrapers and all the stuff, explorers, all the stuff that you need. And we get down to this Bible school in Monterrey, Mexico, and we set up, and they've invited people from all around to come in, and the idea is get your teeth worked on during the day, and then we'll preach at you and pray for you at night, right? They start setting everything up, and they realize that the bit for the high-speed handpiece isn't in the stuff. And I mean, we took these boxes, we poured everything out. We looked at every nook and cranny. We looked everywhere, and we couldn't find this drill bit. We called around Saturday. No dentists are open. Even the dentists that were open didn't have anything that would fit the handpiece that we had. So we closed everything back up. It's sitting in a pile in the middle of the floor like we're ready to leave because there's not much we can do without that drill bit. And somebody said, well, let's just pray that the Lord will either show us where it is or send an angel to bring us one. And we said, okay. So we, six of us, eight of us, whatever it was, all held hands, closed our eyes, and prayed about a 30-second prayer. You know, oh, Lord, we can't do any. We come here to do your work. We can't do anything without this drill bit. Either show us where it is or send an angel to bring it to us. Okay. Amen. And honest to goodness, when we opened our eyes, that drill bit was sitting on the top of one of those boxes. Now, I don't know where that angel had to go to get that drill bit, okay? But he brought it to us. You can pray with your children for the gift of miracles to operate. We prayed for our air conditioner in the car, and the Lord healed that. We prayed for a transmission in a car, and the Lord healed that. One time, we were about to start a service, a special service. I needed something, and Debbie was supposed to bring it, and she was late. And her and my daughter called as they're leaving the house, honey, I'm sorry we're late, but we're going to get there as quickly as we can. They were 45 minutes away from the church. And this is 45 minutes away, highway driving, like 60 miles an hour, you're 45 minutes away. And the service starts in 20 minutes, and so, you know, I'm a little upset, and she says, that's okay, Sandy, our daughter, and we'll just pray that the Lord will redeem our time. Okay, honey, whatever, thank you, bye. Just I'll delay until you get here. 20 minutes later, she pulled up in the parking lot. No, I mean, I was a witness to the time when they left the house. That car wouldn't have gone fast enough for them to get there. It was a miracle of some kind. But because our daughter was in the car praying along, seeing this, she's used to these kind of things happening now. We all need to get used to that. We just need to get used to the idea that God wants to work miracles in our lives. Do you hear what the Lord is saying in this teaching this morning? He's calling you to experience spiritual gifts way more than you do now. Even if you think spiritual gifts operate through you a lot, He wants them to operate through you more. Look for the chance for the Holy Spirit to move through you. Expect Him to show up in a miraculous way, in whatever circumstance you're in. Practice it, you know. You want to hone your ability to let the Holy Spirit move through you. And don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let him tell you that spiritual gifts aren't for you. He's trying to suppress the supernatural in this whole area. And one of the reasons that I know for sure that's true is because this morning all the hindrances of all the folks who were supposed to be here, and you got flat tires and blown up water heaters and sick people and all kinds of other things, see? Devil doesn't want folks to hear this because he knows that right here in this church you can break this spirit and you can begin to operate in gifts in a way that you've never seen before, and that'll spread out from here in this whole area. Be the shining light on the hill and let the Holy Spirit move through you and then move throughout this whole area in ways that you're just going to have so much fun doing.